Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm now into my fourth week of teaching on You've Already Got It, So Quit Trying to Get It. And I tell you what, we have covered a lot of really powerful things. I encourage you to please get these materials. I know some of you think, well, I watched it on television. What do I need to get the materials for? Because there's more depth than what I'm able to go into on these little 30-minute programs. Plus, you are able to go back over it. This is the kind of thing you need to hear over and over and over. Plus, our materials allow you to share this with other people. Especially, this is the very first time that I've had this study guide available on You've Already Got It. And this is written in an interactive form where there will be some statements and then questions. There's scriptures that you look up. And basically, you don't tell a person or teach them something. You just ask questions. What does this mean? Do you really believe this? You look up the scriptures and it basically answers itself. And so it's an interactive way of sharing the word with other people. And I tell you, it's really important. So I encourage you to please get hold of these materials. Now, the last couple of programs, I've been talking about how does this teaching on God's already done everything relate to our battle against the devil, or what many people call spiritual warfare. I believe that Satan exists. I believe that he's a factor. And I've used these verses out of Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, this verse and many other verses, matter of fact, the life of Jesus cast many demons out of people. He would walk into a place and demons would begin to start crying out because they recognized Him and His power. Demons exist, and they aren't in some undeveloped country someplace. Wherever you are, I don't care wherever you are, we've got around 3 billion people in the world right now that can watch this program today. Not all of those people watch, but that's how many. We cover half of the world's population with this program. And wherever you are, it doesn't matter what country you're in, there are demons right there. And many of the things that you think are just natural occurrences, they're actually demonic in their origin. But you need to make sure that even though it's a truth that Satan exists, you recognize that he does not have a power that is superior to your. Actually, Satan has no power. He has been stripped. Jesus spoiled him completely. Satan has no power. The only thing that he does is he comes against us, or as it says right here, we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means the lies, the deception, the deceit. Satan is a master deceiver. And one of the ways that he's deceived people is through spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare people have a truth, and that is that Satan exists and that much of the problems that we have is because it's motivated by Satan behind the scenes. But then they start talking about how powerful he is and how we've got to bind this and all of these things. And through that, they are actually helping further some of the lies. They don't understand that Satan has been defeated. He is a factor, but the only reason he's a factor is because people don't know the truth. If they knew the truth about how Jesus totally stripped Satan of all of his power, then Satan wouldn't be a factor. He does exist, but he is stripped of all of his power. Let me just share a passage with you out of the book of Colossians, chapter 2. And man, I could spend a lot more time teaching on this. This is the reason, again, I encourage you to please get the materials, because they will go into more detail than what I'm able to do. But in Colossians, chapter 2, it says in verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he," talking about Jesus, "quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Man, there could be a lot of explanation on those two verses. This handwriting of ordinances that he's talking about is the Old Testament law. It has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, he was talking about that the law is finished. It's over. It's done. He fulfilled the law. That is powerful. And then in verse 15 it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Now remember this phraseology here, principalities and powers. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's talking against people, humans, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's talking about that there are demonic powers operating behind the scenes through people. It's not all people, it's demonic powers using people. And this says that he has spoiled principalities and powers. This is talking about Satan, his hierarchy, the highest levels of Satan's kingdom. Satan has been spoiled. Now this word spoiled here, you know, we use the word spoiled to refer to how food spoils, meat spoils, fruit spoils, and all this kind of stuff. But it's not being used in that sense. This is talking about in the way that you go out and you fight an enemy, and if you kill them, then you strip them of all of the things that they have, and you take the spoils of battle. That's been used many, many times in Scripture. And this is what this is talking about, that having spoiled principalities and powers. In other words, the powers have been overcome. You can't strip a person of things as long as they are still viable and able to fight and defend themselves. They'll fight and they won't let you take their shoes and their clothes and their all of the things that they have. If you spoil a person, it's because you've totally defeated them, and so you strip them of everything of value that they have. So Satan has to be defeated or he couldn't have been spoiled. Satan has been defeated. He has spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. This word show right here, the Greek word that was used for that is the same word that we get exhibit or exhibition from. In other words, Satan has been made an exhibit. It's like you go into a museum and you see a stuffed animal. And, you know, it looks like that sheep or that elk or bear or whatever it is, but the truth is it's dead. That's just a representation. It's like a museum exhibit. That's what the devil is. Satan has been stripped, gutted. He doesn't have any power. I know that by me saying this, there's Christians that are incensed because you will fight for Satan's power. I don't know why we're so excited about all of the power that supposedly the devil has. I think one of the reasons is because it gives us an excuse for being as ineffective as we are. We can blame it on the devil, like Flip Wilson. Well, the devil made me do it. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't have the power to make anybody do anything. All he can do is lie to you and deceive you, and only if you agree with him and accept his lies and deception can he do anything in your life. Satan can't force you into defeat. He can't force you into failure unless you don't know the truth. He has been made an exhibit. You know, when I was in high school, we in biology class, we used to have to go collect crickets and bugs and butterflies and things like this, and you'd kill them, and then you'd mount them on a piece of poster board and put underneath them, you know, what their scientific name was. And you had to turn these things in for a science project. You know, they probably don't do that today. We've become too civilized to kill a bug and put it there. But anyway, that's what we did when I was in school. And you would impale this bug. You'd stick a pin through it and stick it on this poster board and take it in. And this is what this is talking about. Satan has been impaled by Jesus. Jesus destroyed him and made a show of him, nailed him to the cross. I mean, I got a mental image of the devil just being nailed to the cross with something right through his heart, and he's just impaled on the cross, and he is absolutely powerless. He's still alive. He still exists, but he's powerless. And all I can do is just mouth and say things and tell you stuff and tell you that you're no good and that you're nothing, and he can accuse you. And if you know the truth, well, then all of those lies and deception have no power on you. That's why you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32. But if you don't know the truth, well, then we become susceptible to all of Satan's lies and accusations and intimidation. But he has been spoiled, stripped of everything. He has been impaled on the cross. He's been made a show of openly. And then the last phrase in this says, triumphing over them, talking about not only Satan, but all of his demons, the hierarchy, principalities, powers, everything. He triumphed over them in it. And, you know, this goes back. I was studying this and found out that the Romans, this goes back to a phrase that is called the triumphant procession. And the Romans, when they went out and fought an enemy, they would go out, and if they won, they would take the general or the king or whoever it was that came out against them, and they would take this person, they would strip them totally naked, not a stitch on. They would tie them to the back of a chariot or a horse, and they would have a parade through town, and they would show this conquered foe completely stripped naked. They would cut off both thumbs and both big toes. Without a thumb, you could never grab a sword again. You could never stand and fight again. And the reason they did this was to take away any fear or any intimidation that the people of that town might have had about this enemy coming in and oppressing them and conquering them ever again. They had a parade to show that this person is stripped naked. They wouldn't have allowed this if they had any power left. They have had their thumbs and their toes cut off. They'll never be able to fight. They'll never be able to run in battle again. And they had this parade basically to show that the enemy was completely conquered. Likewise, now that is exactly the word that is being used here. You've got to understand that Jesus spoiled principalities and power. He stripped them absolutely naked. You know, when a person is absolutely naked, they don't... If a warrior had on, you know, armor and had a weapon and all of these kind of things, those things can help, project an image and intimidate you. But when you strip them naked, they don't have their armor on. They don't have their crown. They don't have their weapons. They don't have anything. You know what? You just realize that they're nothing but a person. They aren't this person that they project and claim to be. Satan was stripped naked. He is not the person that he tries to get us to believe that he is. He has been made a show of. He's on exhibition. He's been nailed to the cross, impaled. He can't do anything but just gum you. That's all he can do. It's like over in 1 Peter chapter 5, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's had all of his teeth pulled. He's been declawed. He can't do anything except gum you. Amen. He just, his mouth. And sad to say, one of the most vocal voices that he has is people in the body of Christ who are proclaiming how powerful and strong he is. And he uses that to project an image that's not true. And then he has been, just like in a parade, like the Romans used to parade their conquered enemy through the streets, stripped naked with thumbs and toes missing. Likewise, there is a parade in the Bible that shows that Satan is a defeated foe. Ephesians 6:11, you stand against the wiles of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says the weapons of our warfare. See, there is warfare. But the weapons of our warfare do what? It says they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, that's a product of your mind, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What do these weapons do? Do they actually do anything physical? No, it has to deal with your mind, because spiritual warfare takes place between your ears, not out in the heavenlies. I've actually met people before that rented planes so that they could get up into the principalities and powers in heavenly places, in high places, and they had to rent a plane or go up onto a skyscraper so that they could do spiritual warfare. That is just stupid. Excuse me for being blunt. But the warfare is not in the heavens someplace. It's right between your ears. Satan is coming against you with thoughts, with lies, with deception. And you use your spiritual weapon, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, to cast down imaginations and thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's what our weapons are for, so that you can learn the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Some of you have been intimidated and bullied by the devil, and he's all mouth. He doesn't have anything to back it up with. And I'm telling you the truth, and if you would accept this, you could be delivered. You know, when I was in high school, there was a guy who was a bully. I won't mention his name in case he got straightened out and is watching my program, but I could mention his name. I knew this guy. And he used to just pick on people and hit people and intimidate them. And anyway, I was not a fighter. I had one fight in my life, and I wasn't a fighter. But you know what? He was just wrong what he did. It was just wrong. And one day, he was picking on somebody and pushing them around and threatening to beat them up. And he was a little kid. It was like two or three grades younger than him. And I don't know why, but I just stepped in between. And I told him, I said, stop it. I said, this is wrong. And I said, if you're going to get to him, you're going to have to go through me. And this guy could have beat the fire out of me. But you know what? I learned this, that bullies rule by intimidation. Very seldom do they back it up. They don't want to fight. They just project this image, but on the inside, they're just as insecure as anybody else. And when I stood up, he mouthed off and said some things to me, but he didn't hurt the guy anymore. And did you know that this bully actually became a friend of mine? He actually respected me because I put myself in harm's way to protect somebody. I stood up to him. And you know what? He never bullied me. He never bullied that other kid. He continued to do it to other people, but he showed respect to us. And I found out that, you know, most bullies are just, it's all blow and no go. And this is the way that the devil is. The devil tries to make you think that he's got the power and he's going to do this and he's going to destroy you. But Satan can't do a single thing without your consent and cooperation. How do I know that? Because I've seen the parade. This triumphant procession through the pages of the Bible. I've read the Bible and I have seen Satan stripped, naked, spoiled, made an exhibit of, drugged through the pages of the Bible as a defeated foe, that we have power and authority over him. And the reason I believe that most Christians or many Christians have not got this same attitude is because they missed the parade. They haven't been studying the Bible. They don't have the right attitude about the devil, and they are empowering him and giving him much more credit than he deserves. I want you to know Satan is a defeated foe. Satan has been stripped. He's been spoiled. He's been made a show of, and there has been a parade through the pages of the Word of God that if you would get into the Word of God, you could realize that, yes, he exists, and if you cooperate with him, he will eat your lunch and pop the bag, but he can't do it without your consent and cooperation. And if you knew the truth that he has been stripped and defeated, then you don't have to submit to him. You don't have to give in to his intimidation. And you can stand against this. If everything I've said here is true, which it is, then you know what? There's still a battle. But man, it is totally different. Now the battle is, I am not going to listen to your lies. I will not be intimidated. You may have ruled my life at one time, but that's because I didn't know the truth. Now I know the truth. And I'm not going to submit to this lie. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what my banker says. I don't care what the doctor says, what the lawyer says. Here's what the Word of God says. You do not have the power to do this. I believe that there are things happening that I can't see. And I just command you, Satan, to get out of my way. I refuse to allow you to dominate me and to stop the things that God wants to do in my life. And you begin to stand your ground. And if you resist the devil, James 4:7, he will flee from you. I've had people come to me before and say, well, I know that the Bible says that, but I've resisted and he didn't flee. And so what do I do? Do I agree with you saying, well, the Word didn't work? Or do I agree with the Word and say, then you must be wrong? Oh, no, I've resisted him. Well, you may have thought you've resisted him. Maybe you've resisted him more than you have in the past. But the Bible says you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The word resist means to actively fight against. I actually had one person one time that we were leading in deliverance. They had been taking packs and drinking the urine of other people and making these demonic packs and into making covenants that way. And then they wanted to come and get delivered. And I said, you need to renounce the devil. You need to rebuke this inroad that you've given him into your life and cancel that and shut the door on this stuff. So we knelt around the table and we were going to pray and I was going to see them delivered. But I said, first, I want you to renounce the place that you've given the devil. Rebuke him and kick him out of your life. So they said, okay. And they started by saying, dear devil. I had to intervene and stop and say, time out. No, this is not the way you resist the devil. You can't resist the devil by calling him dear devil. You need to get upset. You need to get angry. You need to recognize that Satan has been running roughshod over you with your consent. He's been lying to you, and you need to shut the door and resist him. And if you say, well, I have resisted the devil and he hadn't left, you hadn't resisted with all of your heart. You haven't resisted enough, or he will flee. Satan is a coward at heart. He is a bully. He'll mouth and talk about things, but the truth is he doesn't have the power to force anything to happen. And if you're intimidated by him, well, then that is enough cooperation to let him have dominance in your life. You know, there was an instance where, I hadn't got time to go through this whole thing, but there was a demon in this place that I was praying, and I mean, I wanted to run, but the Lord told me, you stay and fight and get the devil out of this house. And so I was fighting and I was walking back and forth and rebuking the devil. And I mean, all the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. I was just scared because I knew I was dealing with something demonic that I couldn't see, but that it was real. And as I was praying, I was thinking and saying, Lord, I'm glad I can't see these demons that I'm rebuking and dealing with, because if I could see them, I could just imagine me walking down a gauntlet of these demonic forces with fangs and claws that were just inches away, ready to destroy me. And I said, oh, I'm glad I can't see that. And the Lord just spoke to me and he said, no, you got it all wrong. If you could see in the spiritual realm, you'd see little tiny demons in the corner that are just scared and they're afraid of you, but they're all mouth. 90% of their body is all mouth, and they're just screaming and yelling at you, trying to intimidate you. But the truth is, you're the one with authority and power. They're the ones that are cringing. And when I saw that, everything changed. I went from being fearful to being angry, and I got bold, and I mean, boom, those demons were gone the moment I quit being intimidated by them. I want you to know that God has already defeated the devil. He is a defeated foe. There has been a triumphant procession, and it's in the Word of God. You need to watch the parade and get over your fear of this enemy. Man, I've got a lot more to share, but I'm out of time on today's program. This 30 minutes goes really fast. And I'd like to encourage you to please listen to our announcer and take advantage of these teachings that we have. I've got a 6-part set entitled, You've Already Got It. And then this 4th teaching is entitled The Triumphant Procession. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you information and then call or write today.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994. And we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase 1 of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed. And Phase 2 of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Triumphant Procession, free of charge. A condensed version of You've Already Got It is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at Caris Christian Center Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 3rd through the 7th, in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 24th through the 26th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Are you a world changer? Caris Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to CarisBibleCollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.